Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
I know you have places to go and people to see, and you can't always hang out and listen to my entire in-depth conversation. Guess what? For you, it's waiting on the podcast. Just search NPR News with Carrie Miller on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. The What It Means to Be an American series is there. Our Politico Lingo show with Ben Zimmer. Every show that we do right there on the podcast for you.
Programming is supported by Health Partners and MakeItOkay.org, a campaign to start conversations about mental illness and stop the stigma. You can learn more about the misconceptions around mental illness at MakeItOkay.org.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News, and this is our opinion and commentary segment you hear at most Tuesdays at 10. Today, why many Christian evangelical women who might normally support a Republican for president are not this year. Lisa Sharon Harper is one of 700 Christian women who formally condemned Trump's remarks about women. She's the chief engagement officer for Sojourners in Washington. She's the author of The Very Good Gospel. And she joins us today from Seattle. And Reverend Harper, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I was just in Minneapolis a few weeks ago, and it was awesome.
Well,
I love Minneapolis.
Next time you're there, drop in here, okay?
Awesome, will do.
Okay. You signed on to a statement that said in part, Mr. Trump must offer public contrition that fully acknowledges the seriousness and depravity of his actions. You were talking about these accusations about his behavior with women. Mm-hmm. Does this mean you don't believe Donald Trump when he says all of these women are lying?
I think what we need to see is we need to see his action. What we see as a person of faith, in particular a Christian, I'm guided by Scripture, and Scripture tells me that when someone's faith will be demonstrated by their actions. And so if he says that if he has truly asked for forgiveness, then he would actually demonstrate contrition, which is not what he's done. He's actually demonstrated a spirit of justification. So he's trying to justify his actions. He's trying, in fact, he's even threatening to sue the very women who accused him of doing the things that he said he did. So his actions have not actually demonstrated a spirit of contrition. And so, therefore, no, I do not believe that he has really, truly repented. No.
While we're on the subject of actions, you and other Christian women and leaders are pretty upset that some of the male evangelical leaders of the church and other religious organizations have also not stepped forward to denounce Trump. What's going on with that?
Well, I actually think that what's happened is that something very insidious has been revealed, because our faith is a faith that says that all humanity is made in the image of God, both men and women, and that's explicit in the Scripture. Both men and women are made in the image of God, and what that means is that we've all been created with the call and the capacity to help steward the world. But what we have here is we have faith leaders, particularly some white male faith leaders, who have gone against their own faith in order to support their party, in order to support a candidate. And so what they have revealed is that they are more loyal to their party than they are to even their faith. Now, let me also say it's important to note that there have been some white evangelical men who have already stepped up many months ago and denounced Trump. So they have demonstrated that their loyalty is first to their faith, and then it might be to some other things, and then their party. But these people who, regardless of what Trump has done, has stuck by his side, they have demonstrated that their faith is in their party more than in their religion.
I'm curious about the calculation of that. I mean, what would be in it for these religious leaders to make the kind of choices that you're describing?
It would really be a question of of winning a political war. Oftentimes, when you look at the people like Ralph Reed or others who have stood by Trump in this time, they are political operatives. They are evangelicals in the political sense. In fact, they are some of the people who helped to create the political evangelical quote-unquote brand. But what you have also seen is you've seen actual faith leaders, evangelical faith leaders, those 700 women who you mentioned, and then also more than I think that the number is in the thousands. It's actually around 20,000 people who signed a petition against Trump from the evangelical faith. Those are actual faith leaders. They are actually leading communities into deeper faith in Jesus and into Jesus' principles. So they care first and foremost about the faith, not the politics.
I read, and I'll bet you did too, the Christian writer Caitlin Beatty's op-ed in the Washington Post.
Yes.
And she said in part, pastors, college presidents, policy advisors who continue to defend Trump after his comments not only risk harming the church's witness, they also risk alienating the largest segment of every evangelical church in America. Do you think something that there will be consequences within some of these leaders' congregations as a result of this?
I do, but I think it actually goes even deeper than that. I think that something profound is happening right now. It is truly profound, and in some ways we have to thank Mr. Trump for what he did, for his lack of contrition, because what he's doing is he's revealing something inside the church that is a sickness, actually. We really don't have, and quite honestly, a lot of authority to point the finger at Trump, because oftentimes in our churches tend to be some of the most male-dominant spaces during the week. And you know how there's a really famous saying that Martin Luther King said, that churches are the most segregated space. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in American cultural life. Well, that is also true of male dominance, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most male-dominated hour in the course of a week. And so we have, through, I believe, twisted theology, or theology that benefits some and doesn't benefit others, but honestly, I don't think it's an honest read of the scripture. Through our theology, we have helped to plant deep roots of male dominance in our culture. So Donald Trump is really only a magnified version of the male dominant culture we have cultivated in our churches.
Lisa Sharon Harper is with us. She is Chief Engagement Officer for Sojourners in Washington, and she's the author of The Very Good Gospel, and she is the voice on our opinion and commentary segment today. This might have happened, Lisa, but it occurred to me that the condemnation that is coming from self-identified Christian women and leaders might be even more powerful and more attention-getting if it includes women who don't identify as Christians, but who identify as faithful across the denominations and the faiths. Has that happened? What do you think of that?
Well, I do think it's actually happened. I know that there have been interfaith efforts to bring together women of multiple faiths to say, we are not going to stand for this. And quite honestly, male dominance is a problem across faiths.
Uh-huh.
It's not only a Christian problem. It's something that within different religions, in most religions, there is a struggle for equity between genders right now. And so it's not something that we're only finding in evangelical church or in the Christian church. It's something we find in the Muslim church. It's something we find in the Buddhist church. It's something that we find in the Jewish tradition. And so so this is something that we actually have seen interfaith efforts around.
You know, I want to actually do an in-depth, longer conversation on what we've been talking about. I hope you'll come back and do that with
that.
Us. Good. What's the answer to that? And until we talk about this more in depth, just give me a quick thought on that.
Well, in the book Very Good Gospel, that's the last book I just wrote. It came out in June. It's how everything wrong can be made right, right? The answer or the antidote to domination is actually the practice of embrace of the other and cultivation of the image of God within the other, recognition of that image of God. And at the heart of the good news for Christians is that when Jesus came with a message and actions that demonstrated that he looked into the eyes of women. He looked into the eyes of those who were most marginalized and vulnerable, and he called forth the full dignity that person possessed because they possessed the image of God. And they became people who led, which is that call to exercise stewardship of the world. We see that in the Samaritan woman who starts out like really, really shy, and not only that, but actually quite fearful of the people in her town. She's in the garden, the desert, in the middle at high noon. But by the end, she's actually the first person in all of Scripture to go and tell the good news about Jesus to everybody in her town, and they all decide to follow him as a result. So there's an unlocking of the call of women to exercise stewardship of the world that we find in Scripture.
I'm really looking forward to talking with you again about this. It'll be a good conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa Sharon Harper, Chief Engagement Officer for Sojourners in Washington and one of 700 Christian women who formally condemned Donald Trump's remarks about women.
Programming supported by the Minnesota Orchestra. 2013 Grammy Award-winning jazz trumpeter Chris Bodie returns to Minneapolis for a special performance live at Orchestra Hall Friday, November 18th. Tickets at minnesotaorchestra.org.